Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message today is the gospel lesson that was just shared from the lectern. Friends in Christ, once a man had a dream in which he saw a burdened Christian pilgrim climbing up a hill where a cross stood. As he knelt there before the cross, his burden was lifted. Peace replaced his fears. Tears turned to laughter. And leaping to his feet, the pilgrim sang, "He has given me rest by his sorrow and life by his death." This is taken from Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. It is a story that has some parallels in it to the account just shared of Easter morning. And we place ourselves into that account, not by way of a dream, but in spirit. In spirit, we have risen early with the Marys and Salome to make our journey out to the grave of the Savior. It is a sad and heavy-hearted journey. He who had occupied a unique place in their lives had been ingloriously taken from them the Friday previous. They had lingered for the end and watched through their tears as friends took the bleeding, still warm body of Jesus from the cross. And as they walked along that morning, most likely the dread thought swept across their mind that surely his body would be cold in the grave. It was a journey of loss, of doubt and sadness. Did you ever ask, or did the thought ever come across your mind, suppose they had found a dead body in that grave? What might it mean to our lives today if indeed Jesus had been cold in the tomb? It's a vast subject to ponder. But in thinking about it a bit, it came to me that you and I would have to take away from our lives today the Christian hospitals and orphanages. We would have to remove the hand of Christian charity with its food for the hungry, its clothing for the cold and shivering, its shelters for the homeless. Take away those massive efforts at world relief for suffering humanity. Take away the Christian voice of conscience, which informs many of those who make the laws in this land. Take away the schools, for they were always the nurseries of the church, and allow ignorance to run rampant. Take away the great works of art, the statues of David and Moses and the Pietà. Take away Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel. Take away the masterpieces such as Da Vinci's Last Supper. And forget about the sweet strains of Bach's Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring and Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. Take away the faith of Martin Luther and his chief piece of literature, the German Bible, which did so much to shape the language and the faith of that nation. Take away Thomas Cranmer and the Book of Common Prayer, which went so far to shape the language and culture of the English-speaking world. Take it all away, and more that you could think of, to subtract. Leave it all buried in the tomb of the dead. And what sort of a world do you have left to live in? What sort of a life would that leave us to live? Surely, we would have thoughts about, second thoughts about living in that world, even though by a sometimes cavalier attitude, take it all for granted, we accept our inheritance with indifference and sometimes indifference even to the church, which brought us all these blessings. We act as if perhaps the grave would be a good place to leave it all. The Lord gave and the Lord took it, hath taken away, so be it. The ladies on their march that morning on their way to the tomb didn't think that anything had happened between Good Friday and Easter, but as they approached the grave, they received the shock of their lives. Their first concern was the huge stone, which to their amazement was now shoved away, moved aside. Next, they were stunned as they entered the tomb to see an angel of the Lord sitting there. The angel did all of the talking. And he said, "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. He will go before you now into Galilee. Go and tell his disciples and Peter that you will see him just as he told you." And now with this message ringing in their ears, they left the tomb trembling, and they got out of there as fast as their legs could carry them. They had to recover their wits before they could tell anybody about what they had seen. But they got out of there, and a journey which began in sorrow and pain now concluded in joy abundant. The eyes which had brimmed with tears now began to sparkle with a faith fit for the ages. And my friends, you and I must leave the chapel here this morning as happy believers in the resurrection. It is as William Barclay wrote, "If Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, we would never have heard of him." It is as St. Peter preached, "You kill the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this." And in our hearts, we must be convinced by the message of the angels, the joy of the surprised disciples, the liveliness that came across that small Christian community, the power and vitality of the faith which has come down across the centuries to our own. And when you arrive at that faith yourself, it has marvelous implications for your life and for the lives of your loved ones. When in the hour of death, you stand at the unmoving side of your beloved, reluctant to give up that last fond gaze at the form which only a few short days or hours had given you warm and loving touch. Remember that that attachment which you have for that house of clay is not something morbid or melancholy. That body is important not only for what it has been, but for what it will be again. You will again feel its touch, hear the cadence of that familiar voice again, see the warmth in those eyes again. You will feel its touch again, and that prospect is yours because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Now, this does not mean that Romeo and Juliet will recapture in heaven the ardor of their earthly passions, but it does hold a promise for a happy journey's end in a heaven so incredibly wonderful that the passions of earth left behind will not be missed. Our journey with the Marys and Salome retraces the steps they took and provides us with some of the emotions that they experienced that morning. It is a journey from sadness into gladness. And as we began this journey with words from Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, it is perhaps fitting that we conclude with a few more. As Mr. Valiant for Truth passed over the river of death, he said, "My sword I give to him that shall succeed me in my pilgrimage. My courage and skill I give to him who can get it. My marks and scars I carry with me to be witnesses that I have fought the battles of him who will now be my reward." And so he passed over, and all the trumpets sounded for him on the other side. Christ's resurrection makes that sort of thing possible. And one day for you too, when the journey from sadness into joy shall have arrived at its final destination, then perhaps you too, faithful Christian, for you too, all of the trumpets will sound for you on the other side. Amen.